أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we were talking about the essence of Tawheed, and for the brothers or sisters who do not know, it is based, the discussions are based on articles that Imam Khamenei has written in reference to it, and the title that you can find on alislam.org is At-Tawheed and its social implications. In the first part, just doing a little bit of review, the essence of Tawheed is in the implication of Tawheed. The essence of it is not in ideology or information that one has about Tawheed. In actuality, its essence is in the implication, meaning when you say, when you bear witness that there is no God other than Allah, what are the implications of that statement on your life, on your soul, in the social structure, in the world that you live in, or in the hereafter? So what the first chapter dealt with is that the oppressors are actually not against the ideology or philosophy of Tawheed, but what they're against of is the implications. Because if someone believes in Tawheed, who says that there is no other authority other than the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the human beings would have to follow the one authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they cannot submit to the will and authority of any other being. So, in regards, because of this implication, the pharaohs and the oppressors of the world, they are against the implication of Tawheed. One example I had given last week was that when the British army occupied or colonized Iraq, one of the generals heard the call of prayer, Azan, and asked the person who was a translator to tell him what this call was. And the translator started to tell him about how it is that the God is the greatest, and that you bear witness that the Prophet is the Prophet of Allah, and so forth. And the general interrupted him and told him that, look, I'm not interested in that. What I want to find out really is whether this call of prayer is going to become a hindrance in me occupying the land in Iraq. And the translator mentioned to him that no, there is going to be no implication of this call of prayer. It is only for people to gather in the mosque. When the general heard that, he said that it is okay then. They can call as many people as they want towards prayer. You see, the implication over there, if it was the case that the people gathering in the masjid would be more concerned about the implications, then that call of prayer would have become a source for the people to be united and to go against the occupiers who are trying to forcefully put the will upon the people of their agenda and of their policies. So what we need to understand is that Tawheed is not just the ideology or philosophy, but it is actually the practical aspect of Tawheed, which is the essence of Tawheed, that you say that there is no other authority other than the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second part that Imam Khamenei has written the article on is in regards to Tawheed that you can find in the creation. And we talked about that a little bit last week. When we look at the universe, we see that the universe is one system, that there is no two systems. It's only one system, and all the other systems are part of that one whole. In the universe, in the matter universe, in the three-dimensional universe, the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created, they all are submitting to His will. And they're all connected with each other in a way that this whole universe can run. And the example that Imam Khamenei brings is of a machine, that all the small parts and the larger parts of a machine, they all work together towards the same purpose and aim. So the universe in itself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created is also a source or a way for us to look at the implications of Tawheed. Now those implications of Tawheed are forcefully implemented on the universe, meaning that the matter does not have the choice but to follow the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the sun cannot decide one day that it will do the job of the moon, and the moon cannot decide one day that it will do the job of the sun. The whole universe is submitting to His will, and they do not have a choice in this matter. In regards to human beings and jinn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to decide whether they're going to submit to His will or they're not going to. If they submit to His will, then they're going to be rewarded for it, and if they do not submit to His will, then they're going to be punished for that. So when we look at the universe, this is a good book for us. It is a good article for us to see how everything comes together and how everything sinks in to be able to work together for the whole system. And in regards to importance wise, every single part of this universe is as important as the other. Because one without the other means that the whole universe will be destroyed. And you see a sense of equality in the universe. Meaning if one was less important than the other, then the need of that lesser would not exist. That the other could work without the lesser one. But you see that it doesn't work that way. You have... For example, if the sun, if the Earth, which is revolving around the sun in its specific orbit, if the Earth was to move out of that orbit, there would be a chain reaction of planets colliding with each other, which would create another chain reaction, which would eventually finish the whole universe. So inequality-wise, every single part of this machine which is working together for its purpose, they are important and equal. Now the same thing in human beings as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings equal in potential. And every single human being is part of that whole system of humanity. If one human being does something wrong, it affects the others as well. So, for example, you can understand that now in today's context, because everything is globalized, meaning if you stop buying Nike shoes, it will have a global impact on all the whole system. There will be people that would become unemployed in different parts of the country, in different parts of the countries in the world. There will be natural resources which are provided for that. They will have no place to go. If you start looking at how intricately the whole global system is now connected with each other, you will see that every single part of that system is important for that system to run. Just like that in humanity as well, if, for example, if I think that my doing wrong is not going to affect the whole system of humanity, that is not the way it works. My actions, implications, I might not be able to see how far these implications will go, but definitely each action that I perform would have implications that will go till the end of time, and also would determine the course of humanity, if it's going to go towards its purpose or not. You can see it in history, individuals who acted in without submitting to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their implications are seen till till today, and they will be seen till the end of time. You can see after the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away, the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had devised for humanity to maintain that homogeny and that synergy, for them to all of them to go together towards that one goal. When we see that in the Islamic history, it was not according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The implication of those people, even though they were very few, but the implication of those people, you can see of their actions till today. And it has grown so much that now you find that 1 billion Muslims around the world are divided into 72, 73 different sects. And our unity is has been always on stake. We have been fighting with each other, we have been shedding each other's blood, we have been insulting each other. And all of these things that you see in the world today are because of the actions of other people who did not submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of the implications as a chain reaction, one by one, the whole of humanity is suffering. Just like in the universe as well, in the matter, if there is one thing that goes out of sync, the whole universe is going to have to, is going to get affected. So the lesson to learn here is that we have to understand that our actions have an impact in the whole system, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has devised His laws according to the perfection of that system. And one of the reasons why the oppressors do not like the implications of Tawheed is because then all of humanity would become equal. And they will be equal in the submission of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of the equality of human beings, only the ones who are the most righteous, meaning who submit to His will the most, would be the ones who would be given an extra status or you can say importance. Then in that society or in that world, if there is going to be someone who will have a higher status, would be the one who is the most submissive to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is totally against the philosophy and ideology of capitalism and imperialism. And it has always been against the philosophy and ideology of shaitan. So in that particular case, we can see that how important it is to have the Tawheed's implications in our lives, in our house, in our society, in our community. And inshallah, by all of us working together, there will come that day which has been promised to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where in Surah Tawbah He has said, "Huwa alladhi أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون." That He is that God, He is that being who has sent His Prophet with guidance and the true system. Din al-Haq is basically Tawheed. And anything which is other than Tawheed is Batil. And whether that happens to be a religious philosophy, or it happens to be a social philosophy, or it happens to be an economical philosophy, or whatever other philosophy or isms that you can think of, if it is not according to Tawheed, if it's not according to the principles of Tawheed, then it is falsehood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that there will come a day when this, all of these false systems will be finished, and the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the truth and Tawheed, that system will be implemented on the whole of the earth, even if the polytheists do not like this fact. The polytheist is that person who decides to submit to the will of anybody else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even to the point where Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's peace and blessings be upon him, has said that every single ria is shirk, meaning every single thing that a person does for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk, has put a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Mushrik, whoever are going to be the Mushrikeen, are not going to like this fact that the system of Tawheed would be implemented onto the whole of the earth. And out of these Mushrikeens, our mind goes towards, for example, the people who put partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their ideology or philosophy of religion. But in reality, these Mushrikeens are going to be those people who are implementing the systems other than Tawheed, and who do not want Tawheed to be implemented on whole of the earth or even into their houses or community. That would make their authority less and the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be greater. In that sense, you will see that when the 12th Imam comes, may he come as soon as possible, and that we are among his friends and followers, there will be people who will stand up who you do not classify as mushrik, who you do not classify as someone who in their philosophy or ideology are putting partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these individuals will, some of them would be Shia, some of them would be Muslim. They will stand against the Imam and they will say that what you have brought is new. It is a new religion. It is not the religion that we have been following through our forefathers, just as there were objections that were given to each and every prophet that ever came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people stood up against the prophet and said that you are telling us to do something which is against the system that our forefathers have been following. So you will see that when the 12th Imam come, there will be people who will stand against him, and the ones who stand against him are actually mushrik, maybe not in their ideology or philosophy, but they are mushrik in their actions, where they might be saying that there is only one God, that there is no other authority other than the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because in their actions, in their systems, in their houses, in their communities, they were not implementing what comes by saying ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, they will stand against Imam, and Imam will take care of them, as we know in traditions how he will. So it is important for us, the ones who are waiting for the Imam, that we should start putting the we should start implementing the concept of Tawheed in our actions, in the house, in our community, and work together with those individuals or countries who are working together to bring about the new world order, that would be, as there are also opposites to that, that Shaitan is also trying to bring a new world order, and he's working towards that, and there are individuals who are working towards that goal, and they are very much successful so far, and they have achieved quite a few milestones in that as well. One of the biggest milestones that they've achieved is to get the economy of the world to become in a way where it's going towards one economy, one system, the globalization of consumerism, the globalizations of products, and the globalizations of values, ethics, the globalization of the definitions of ethics, the globalization of definitions in itself. They are working towards that, and they are very, very successful in that. And unfortunately, us who are Muslims are either unaware of it, or when somebody actually talks about it, we do not pay any heed towards that. And the main reason for that is that we have put Islam just as an ideology and philosophy, and lost the connection that Islam has towards its implications on a person's soul, community, home, and the world. But there are countries, there are individuals who are working towards the true new world order, which is in the whole world trying to have the synergy where human beings are given the rights that are rights given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where human beings are not oppressed because of a creed, nation, or religion, where human beings are given enough respect for ideas and opinions to be shared, where the wealth of humanity is shared among the poor, where there is going to be no one person hoarding all of the resources of the world, but there would be a system in which the resources of the countries are given back to the countries, and they are going to take benefit from it. And in that, we know clearly who these countries are and who these individuals are. If anybody does not know or has any doubt, they should listen to the speeches that Imam Khamenei gives, or they should listen to the speeches that Abu Ahmadinejad has given, the interviews that he's given, the way he's working in his government towards that goal. And slowly, slowly, other countries are also realizing this fact that there should be a global structure, there should be a new world order in which the capitalism and imperialism should be finished, and humanity, which has equal rights, should be united together towards justice and peace, true justice and peace and liberty for all, not the justice and peace and liberty that has been defined so far. So as you can see, that everything revolves or goes back to Tawhid. And the example that Imam Khamenei gave is for us to take a look at the matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this whole system, in which every single part of that system is important and it is equal, and all of these parts are working towards that one goal, towards that one purpose. And that purpose is actually what I read to you in the verse that وَالَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لَيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. This is the purpose. Or there is another ayah which says that لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. That verse I recited for you last week as well is from Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that I have sent all of the prophets with clear proofs and with books and with the measuring scales, so that the humanity can take benefit from all of these resources, and they should stand up, or they should deal with each other on their own, with their own free will, with justice. And as you can see, that this is all of the prophets, 124,000 prophets, they all came and gave the ideology and philosophy of Tawheed. Every single prophet told the individuals that you should not worship, you should not submit, you should not love anyone other than Allah. And if you do that, you will become successful in this world and you will be successful in the hereafter. So if humanity is not able to take benefit from the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for the guidance of humanity, then obviously in this world there will be no justice, and people will always be oppressed, and there will always be capitalistic societies, there will always be imperialistic thought, and humanity will not be able to grow and mature and go towards the ultimate goal, which is justice, peace, liberty, equality for all of humanity. So, as he goes through explaining about the synergy in the universe, he also in the articles he also goes towards human beings as being equal and having rights. If you think about it, the only reason why we have different clans or different countries, or we have this prejudice among ourselves, is because human beings have created it. It is not in the philosophy and theory of Tawheed. It is us who have created the different creeds and nations. If you think, in Pakistan we have differences among the Punjabis and the Urdu speaking. We have differences among our Khoja brothers and Punjabis, or the ones that are from Pakistan. We have differences in regards to Muslims that are from India and from Pakistan. So, in reality, all of the prejudice that we have in the society is coming from not implementing Tawheed, but just saying it in words. Someone who has prejudice against another individual, that person is doing something which is totally against Islam. But you see that all over the place. You see that in our communities. You see that when there are going to be rishtas done, or when there people are getting married. You see that when centers are organized, that you know, the Punjabis will have their own Husainia, the Urdu speaking will have their own Husainia, so all of these prejudice that you see in the communities or in the world right now is from the reason that we do not look at humanity as one. We have divided humanity in different sects, in different creeds, in different religions. We have divided, we have done that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not done that. He has created us in different tribes, but the only reason why He created us in different tribes is so that we can know each other. And in that same verse, which Imam Khamenei also brought in his article, the end is that whoever has the most piety and whoever has is the most righteous person is the one who is better. Our prejudice is not based on piety and submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our prejudice, the way that we have biases, is based on money, it's based on status, it's based on which part of the world you were born in, it's based on physical attributes. For example, in our society, the people who are a little bit fair-skinned, they get more respect. They're looked at as better people. They're looked at as people that, you know, should be in the leader positions. And the people who are a little bit darker in skin, they're looked at, they're looked upon opposite of the ones that are fair. And everybody's looking to become fair. They will use different creams. They will use different makeup. They will be proud if they're bahu, if their daughter-in-law is fair-skinned, you know. So all of these prejudices are coming from the fact that we have gone away from implementing Tawheed in our societies and in our culture. And if human beings, they start thinking that they are the progeny of Adam, then a lot of these barriers that have been put would come down, and as these barriers that have been put come down, human beings will start respecting and loving each other, and the system, the whole system, will go towards its goal, which is very important. I mean, I can give you another example as well. Borders, for example, it's the same earth if you think about it. In Canada and US, there is a yellow line which was painted by someone, decided to paint a yellow line and said that, you know, this is the yellow line which is the border. If you want to come, if you cross this yellow line, you are in States. If you go on the other side, you are in Canada. But when you look at the earth, there is no yellow lines that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. These yellow lines were created by man. It's the same earth. I mean, that yellow line doesn't change the earth. It's the same earth. Just that yellow line is put there as a border so that people can have two different countries, which would be neighboring countries, which will try to have independence, will try to have independent laws, which will try to have sovereignty, which will try to be patriotic, which will try to have a division between people. And this is just, you know, this is how, if you have that sort of outlook in the world, that everybody, all human beings are created equal, and it, and among the human beings, only the ones that are more pious and more submissive to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are better. In that ideology, that way of looking at the world, is what the implications of Tawheed are supposed to be. But we see that, you know, it's not being that way. But we have to build that way of looking. This way of looking at the world has been given to us. You can see that in the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done. You can see it in the teachings of the prophets. You can see it in the teachings of Masumin alayhi salam, that they're looking at humanity as a whole, as one, as equal, you know. And if they are going to be prejudiced, their prejudice is based on who is more closer towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our prejudice are based on the animalistic instincts that we have. The animal instincts that we have basically tells us from inside that if this person who looks different than you, this person is actually in competition with you. And you find this, you know, probably more in US than in Canada. You know, people sending you writing and saying you know, reminding you of that you should go back to where you came from. That you will hear in the news that the immigrants are taking over the jobs in America or Canada. That the food and the society now is the original people are not getting the jobs because the foreigners, they come and take their jobs. And the same instinctive prejudice exists among the animals. The reason why animals don't like another animal to come inside of their territory, and the reason why the animals, they put the yellow lines. The animals put the yellow lines. They make their own territories and with their scent. And that they consistently or every day they work on that to make sure that they let know the other animals that this is their territory and they cannot come in their territory, and if they come in their territory they will be attacked. Because the animal in its instinct is thinking that if another animal comes in the territory, then that animal would become in competition in regards to acquiring food. And it's the same thing that human beings are doing today. They're prejudiced against others because they're worried that their jobs are going to be gone, that their jobs are being outsourced. So they will tell the other people, you know, you should go back where you came from. Well, even if I go back where I came from, I still came from the same earth. And wherever I happen to be in the global system that has been devised by your forefathers and the people who are running the show, I will still affect you, and I will still take your jobs, and I will still be in competition with food. So the only way that humanity can actually get rid of this instinctive animalistic prejudice is that if they were to start having an outlook that Tawheed provides to us, that Muslims are supposed to have. And we should become ambassadors of that, in the sense that in our communities, if we should work, if you find that there are, regardless of the religion that the person has, if they happen to need any help, or if you see any poor individual, or you see poverty, or you see individuals who have less, we should provide for them. But we as Muslims, we have even forgotten our own rights, our rights on other Muslim brothers and sisters around the world. We don't even do that, then this is actually more of a far-fetched idea that we become ambassadors for the rights of other human beings who have less than we do. But it is something that we should work on. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's not possible. So what Imam Khamenei is saying in his second article is that we should build that way of looking at the world, and that starts from each and every single individual. It will start with me. It will start with the people that are listening, and we will try to do that in our house. We will try to do that in when we get married. We will try to do that in our communities. And we will support those individuals who are trying to bring about this new world order in the world. So when you support in the sense of saying that what Iran is doing is good for humanity, or when you support the ideas or ideologies of what Iran is trying to do, or if you appreciate those efforts, you are trying to build that viewpoint or that outlook towards looking at the world in that sense. And that outlook is very, very important, because eventually, whether you have this outlook or you don't have the outlook, if tomorrow Imam comes, you're going to be forced to have this outlook. And if you do not have this outlook after that, then the end result would be eventually that you will be looked upon as weed in this universe, in this world, and the weeds, they have no purpose other than to remove those weeds for the betterment of the plants. So we have to be very, this is a very important topic, and it's a very important purpose that we should work towards. Right. So we're going to just start a, I'm just going to, I want to mention one more point, and then we will go into the discussion, and we will have the questions and answers, inshallah. So, inshallah, when we go into the third part, we will try to do again a bit of review from the first two articles. The articles that Imam Khamenei has written are, if you look at them, they are very small in text, like meaning that there's not so many pages. But the idea that he's given, the ideas that he has given are very, very important. So, inshallah, everybody will look and try to implement Tawheed in their actions, and then once it is implemented in their actions, then of course it will have implications. And inshallah, the thought that we need to build to look at the world for being responsible for the 12th Imam to come, we will be able to do that. And inshallah, step by step, this will happen. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you all, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts sincerity in our actions, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have that vision, which is the vision of Tawheed, which is the vision of equality, which is the vision of justice, which is the vision of putting a voice against oppression, which is a vision in which status and heights are only given to the ones who are submissive to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if any of my brothers and sisters have any questions, they're welcome to ask. Sure. The question that a brother or sister has given via email is that how we can implement Tawheed in our household. You see, there is only one authority, and that one authority is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Tawheed basically means that there is no other authority other than the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who believes in Tawheed says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that he bears or she bears witness to that fact, and says that there is no other authority but the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now in the household as well, there is a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, which is a system which is the same system as the system that is implemented in Iran, for example, the system of Velayat-e Faqih. In the household, the Velayat, if you look at who is the Velayat-e Faqih in the household, and I'm sure my brothers and sisters who are listening to this, who are married, would be enjoying this. But the Wali Faqih in the house is supposed to be man. And it is not because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has considered woman less, but in that system of whole where everything has its purpose and has a position for the betterment of the whole system, in that man has that responsibility. Now, please, if my sisters are listening, listen to it very carefully. The man has a responsibility to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the household. So now, if you look at it with another angle, it is not a matter of better or not better or why this or why that, but it is a matter of responsibility. And responsibility is actually a burden. It is not a status symbol. It is not the word I'm looking for is it is not a medal of general or of a person with authority, but it is actually a burden. And the ones who are responsible, it is their responsibility is not a source for them to say that they're better or they are superior, but actually they should feel the burden of the responsibility and find tawazu, khushu inside of their soul, meaning they should find humility and fear inside of their soul, because the responsibility is very, very big and very heavy. So if the man has been given that responsibility, the man should implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his household, in the matters of economy, meaning the way that the household is run financially, in regards to the raising of the kids, in regards to the responsibilities of nourishing and raising the children, that the wife has a much greater responsibility in that. So one person should be the wali faqih, not two. And right now we have we might have in a household only one wali faqih, but that wali faqih does not meet the conditions for that wali faqih to be present in that system of tawheed. And that might be our sisters, like for example, when this brother was saying today that when we try to call the people in their houses and say that you should sponsor an iftari or you should sponsor a majlis, the response that the wali faqih or the husband gives is that let me ask my wife first, let me ask her and then I will let you know. So now, so in order for us to be able to implement this, it is necessary that the man feels a responsibility, and the people who are in the household feel the responsibility in regards to obedience to the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the man or the husband is responsible to implement. You see, I give you another example. Something just came to my mind. Ayatollah Brojerdi had asked some of the individuals who, for Azaf Imam Hussein were using drums, and he asked them to come to his office and told them that you should stop doing this. And the people responded that you are our marja, and we will do whatever you say, but we will not do this what you are asking us. So it is in both sense, in both ways, this has to be done, that the man feels the responsibility to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the wife and the kids feel the responsibility for them to obey or to agree or to not sort of agree, but to obey the words of that person who is trying to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if the individual, the man, starts implementing his own authority, then obviously we're not going to have the system of tawheed implemented in the household, but we will have the system of capitalism or imperialism being established in the household, which is not the purpose of Islam. So that's how you will do, and the people would obey, and the person responsible will only implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will go through the wife, the kids, and the household will not do anything other than the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the man is responsible to implement. Okay. Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah, if you can, yes. I think the question was that during Agha Abbas Elia's speech in the series Family Issues, he had stated that the first right on a man is that of his father. According to the laws of Islam, who has rights on the man, husband, son, father? Next, in regards to wife, children, his mother, please give an explanation of the answer. From my knowledge, as well as my children who are at the age of marriage, and I would like them to be aware of their responsibilities according to Islam, not society. Right? That was a question. Okay. Okay, now in the matter of authority, as I mentioned, like if you're talking about who has the most rights, meaning who should be obeyed the most, then the one who should be obeyed the most is actually the only authority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's only the one who should be obeyed. Now, who has the responsibility of implementing this authority more? Then yes, the father has the responsibility more to implement this authority. After that is the mother. The mother and the father, they are both have the responsibility of implementing that authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the son or daughter. But when you look at the responsibility between father and mother, then the father has more responsibility and the mother has less, which will turn in effect that the kids would have to listen to their father. They also have to listen to their mother as well. But for example, if there is a situation in which the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supposed to be implemented on the house, and what the father is saying is also right, and what the mother is saying is also right according to the laws of Islam, then the person should obey what the father is saying. It's not a matter of disobedience to the mother, but out of the two situations, which are both correct according to the laws of Islam, and a father might be saying on one side and the mother might be saying the other side, but they're both correct according to the laws of Islam, then the son should listen or should do as what his father is saying. This thing sort of should be sorted out among the father and mother before the authority is being implemented on the kids, because this would show a negative effect where the mother might end up losing some of her authority if this is done in front of the kids. When in fact for the kids, both of their sayings is wajib on them to do, right? So the mother and father, they should discuss what is going to be implemented on the kids together, and they should look at the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and according to the laws they should agree on one thing, and if there is a difference between the two, then the mother the wife should listen to what the husband is saying, and his word should be final, and after they have decided on that, They should come and implement that authority on the kids, and the kids should know that both of the parents are in agreement to what has been said for them to obey. Now, after that, I mean, once a person gets married, they have their own responsibilities inside of their house. You know, if there is something that the parents are saying, and what the parents are saying is according to the laws of Islam, and let's say that the wife is saying also something, the man should listen to what the parents are saying, because the parents have authority over him. And the wife, if she is disagreeing with what the in-laws are saying, she should see whether if what the in-laws are saying is according to the Islamic principles and laws, then she should she can submit to what they are saying in reference to keeping that structure of authority in its place. And what we see that the differences arise, and these differences, first of all, are not measured on the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're measured on the laws of society. And then there is this discussion of he said, she said, and after that, your parents are like this, and they've always been doing this to me. And the whole scenario turns around in a fight, in a boxing match, which is not according to the system of Islam. And nobody's authority is being implemented at that time, neither of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or anybody else. And the fights happens, and animosities begin, and a hatred starts. And before you know it, the whole system which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, it gets off track, and becomes maybe the results come out to be of jahaliyat, of the time before the advent of Islam. So as far as the responsibilities concerned, the responsibilities are greater of the father, and then of the mother, and then in the matters of affairs in regards to rights, the wife has rights on the husband. She has those rights that of nafaka, for example, of providing the needs and necessities to the wife and the kids. And also, if the wife is saying something which is according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the husband should submit to those laws. The husband submitting to those laws does not mean that the wife has more rights than the rights of his mother, right? If the mother is saying something which is not according to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the wife is saying, that the husband should listen to what the wife is saying and not the mother, because she at that time does not have authority over you, because that authority she's trying to implement on you is of her own authority, but not the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, thinking about this and wrapping this up, you see that the reason why we do not have households that have the system of Tawheed implemented is because everybody in that system has to do their responsibilities, and we do not have that. If one person goes away from that, just like if the earth goes a little bit away in its orbit going towards the sun, the whole system will collapse. Just like that, if the father decides to implement his own authority other than the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole system will collapse. If the wife starts implementing her authority other than the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or looking at the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the whole system will collapse, even if one person is trying. And I hope this answers the question. If still you need more explanation, you can always email and we can talk about it in our next session. Okay, then inshallah we will see, well, not see, but we will talk to everybody next week. And please pray for me, and I will. I pray that anyone who's listening or hearing that their sins are forgiven, that they're given a good sustenance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and the hereafter, and that they become the slaves and followers of our 12th Imam, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us and gives us the strength to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ourselves and upon our household. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the responsibilities that we have towards Him, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give long life to the marjas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our maraji. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give long life to Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him safe from the enemies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the enemies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the true followers of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the coming of our 12th Imam as soon as possible. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma kulli waliyyaka al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan. صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.